interviewing Mrs. Rose Lamb, January 29, 1979, in Monterey Park. Mrs. Lamb, perhaps you could start by telling us something about your family background, where you lived and what things were like when you were growing up. I understand you to say that you lived on a ranch when you were growing up.
I was born here in Los Angeles and then moved out to the ranch about 4 or 5 years old, because I know that didn't start school right after we moved out there. I think we lived out there for about a year before we started school. And then in those days, school was so far away. Well, before I get any further, I'm from a family of 19, I was of 19 children. And
you're the oldest one?
Oldest. When my mother there was 13 of us. Mm-hmm. She, the last was a set of twins. She had a 13 and a set of twins, I made it 15. Mm-hmm. But she passed away when they were 6 months old. By then, I'd been out of high school the year before. And so I took care of them until they were 6 years old. Then another sister got out of high school. Mm-hmm. And she took care, and then I got married. And I remember when I got married, one night in bed, my sister said about my husband's name was John. We don't like John because he took Rose away from us. And
are your brothers and sisters all still in this area, in the Los Angeles area?
Not all. There's four sisters up in the Bay Area, San Francisco and San Jose. One brother in Honolulu. Then the rest are down here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And my father had an asparagus ranch out in the valley. I don't know whether he was the first, but he was one of the first Chinese to have the asparagus ranch. And then
in Van Nuys, did you say?
In Van Nuys, yeah. And because we came from a large family, we know when your ranch is 80 acres, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have that close a neighbor. But we didn't need to have other playmates. We just played among ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to work on the farm too as you were growing up?
I actually myself didn't go out in the fields and do anything, because I always had to help my mother with the laundry and the cooking. But the boys had to. And then, because we lived in a small town, when we used to come into town, we used to hear these Chinese say that, you know, there was a discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, out there, we didn't notice it because we were the only Chinese family with children. And at school, we're the only Chinese children. You know, children, we always played together. But then we always look forward to coming to town to play with other Chinese children, our relatives and friends. And to us, when they tell us that we were coming in town, it was just like it was a big trip. We're so excited the night before we couldn't sleep.
How long did it take then to travel from Van Nuys to Chinatown?
In those days, it must have taken an hour, I suppose. And it's all around Chinatown in those days. My father had the Model T Ford, and there were several of us, four of us in the back seat. We were playing around, and in those days, the Cahuenga Pass, although it was not steep, but it was kind of, you had to go downhill very slow
mm-hmm.
for those old cars. And pretty soon a car came by and said to my father, "You dropped two of them back in the street." Then.
Had he really?
Yeah, well, see, me and another brother, he's always the boy, we were all playing with it. And I don't remember them falling out. And for the longest time, that spread around Los Angeles here, that he had so many children, when he dropped two, he didn't even know it. We were coming into town to see this Chinese couple who was going back to China. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we got into town, we told them what had happened. And so the first thing we did was take the two boys to a doctor to have an x-ray, see that they didn't break any bones. And then I remember years ago when my twin sisters, who are teachers, and both of them, they said they've talked about that experience in their classroom. And it was known all over in Los Angeles among the older people that everyone knew that happened to our family.
What were the boys doing when you found them?
You know, I can't seem to remember, but my father had to turn around and go back and pick them up. And I didn't know they'd fallen down. We were just playing in the back. Then in those days, these old Model T Fords, you know, the doors don't lock. Mm-hmm. And it's an open touring car.
When you went to school, did you have to walk to school then?
Well, the school was quite a distance, and my father, sometimes we had to walk, but sometimes if we had time, took it. So finally, he bought a pony and a cart. We got special permission from the Board of Education to build the little barn on the schoolyard, because then he would bring a bale of hay there. And then when we got to school, we unhitched the pony, and you know, and the funny thing, they built right in the middle of the schoolyard. And during recess time, all the kids would go around there and look at the little, because it was a cute little brown and white Shetland pony. And when they bought it, she had a little coat, what is it called, a coat. Mm-hmm. We bought the pair together. I remember in those days, he said it cost $90, and that was really expensive. So then after that, we went to school, and that time there was four of us going. Mm-hmm. We rode the little buggy, mm-hmm. got to school, we hitched the pony.
And did he have to, did your father have to build a barn?
He got special permission from the Board of Education to build a little, just, you know, a Shetland pony is very small, mm-hmm. so the little barn there would be, three sides, one side would be open, you mm-hmm. know, and then enough to leave the pony there and room for a bale of hay.
Mm-hmm. And how large was the school then?
In those days, I don't know what they were all, but I always remember that this was Reseda Grammar School. Mm-hmm. And in those days, as my father said, that some wealthy man contributed to that school, because we had a pipe organ in the school. Mm-hmm. And this would be, how many years ago now? Because I'm 66 now. Mm-hmm. And I remember the sewing class and the cooking class was, of course at the time I didn't know was that well equipped, you know. And then when we moved, I went to another grammar school, and the school there was just so different. Mm-hmm. The sewing room and cooking class was not well equipped at all. Mm-hmm. And I remember the auditorium, we had a...
Is this the first school you're
talking
about?
The first school, Reseda Grammar School. The building is not up anymore, but the school is still there.
Oh.
Because I guess on account of earthquake things, it had to be torn down. It was mm-hmm. a shame. It was everything was housed in this one big building.
And how many teachers were there then?
They had, you know, first, eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the only Chinese children going there.
Mm-hmm.
And
you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I remember the school building had these real tall pillars in the front. And our auditorium had the pipe organ. We had and then in back of the stage was a spiral staircase that from there we could go downstairs, and there was this great big luncheon that was used when there was rainy weather, that we never had to leave the building to go. I think that spiral staircase was used for the students when they performed plays and things, because
mm-hmm.
the dressing room would be downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember that the restrooms were all marble,
mm.
yeah. and it had a entrance, and in rainy weather we never had to go outside. I'd never been into a grammar school that was
mm-hmm.
like that.
Did you have to carry your own lunches?
Carry our own lunches, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so after we got the pony, we just, you know, we drove to school, didn't come back all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember every once in a while the pony would, I don't know, some car was or something would scare them, and it would run like the dickens, and my brother had the hardest time trying to slow it down. I said, a good thing in those days, already in those days, we had, the street was divided.
Mm-hmm.
That most of the people used one side, so we always used the opposite side, so there was very, you know, car traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember those school days. I don't think anybody had that experience. But anyway, the Board of Education gave him the special permission to build a barn on the school grounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play that.
Today is July the 16th, 1979. It's been a little while since we had our first interview, so let's start all over again. I wonder, Rose, if you might today tell us a little bit about your father's background, where he came from in China, and so on.
Well, my father came from Canton, China. And he was in the produce business in Los Angeles. And then when I was 5 years old, he bought the first ranch in Van Nuys, which is now Panorama City. And I think I mentioned before, it was an 80-acre asparagus ranch. In those days, he recruited Chinese workers. And he did that for several years. And he had to build a bunkhouse that would be their sleeping quarters, and another building was the kitchen and the dining area. And during those few months when the asparagus was in season, my mother never had to cook lunch and dinner because we always told the cook to cook enough for the workers and for our family, and they were about half a block away from us. We'd always carry our pots on and they'd put the food in and we'd take it back home.
Was this asparagus shipped all over the United States?
No, it was just sold right here in Los Angeles. I remember my father saying that before he reached the market, his favorite buyers would stop him on the road and all they did is transfer the asparagus onto their car. They paid him and he went home.
About how much produce did they grow?
Well, the whole 80 acres was asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
That was
so that's
crop.
A lot then.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But asparagus is a very perishable vegetable. As soon as it's picked from the field and it's grated into several grades and put into a box, and before the truck comes to pick it up from the market, we have to let it stand in water
mm-hmm.
to keep it fresh.
Mm-hmm. How many years was it that your father had this ranch?
I remember when we moved from that ranch to the next ranch, I was in the eighth grade, so I started, I started school at 6 years old.
My question was really, how long did he stay in the asparagus farming industry?
The first two ranches were asparagus, so
mm-hmm.
he'd have to been over 20 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other two, the third ranch was in the San Joaquin Valley, and they grew, at the beginning, cotton only.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, they grew, I remember, Crenshaw melons. They
mm-hmm.
they are the Cadillac of the melon family. And then Milo maize is a corn that they make popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And but then, besides that, they were still growing cotton too, but at the beginning it was primarily cotton only.
Mm-hmm. So he was very successful then in
Yeah, and then the fourth ranch was a ranch in Lancaster, which I guess he did not really want to buy, but because the San Joaquin Ranch, there a large portion of that was sold to the government to make a canal through
mm-hmm.
there for irrigation. And in those days, if you didn't, the profit gains, you had to pay taxes. And, you know, nobody wants to pay that tax. So if you bought, because he bought the other ranch, well, then he didn't pay that tax.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only
mm-hmm.
ranch remaining now to be sold. So in his lifetime, he acquired four ranches.
Mm-hmm.
He was the sole owner. He never had any partners.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us something about where he came from in China? Do you know?
Came from Canton, China.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of his hometown?
Well, I always remember him saying that the village was Ngao Mo Liang.
Mm-hmm. You don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. When I was in Canton in April, I didn't go back to visit the village because I don't know whether there's any relatives living. Maybe my mother's youngest brother would be in his 70s.
Mm-hmm. And your mother came from the same village?
My mother came from Canton, China, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were married in this country?
Married in China.
I see.
And then came over here.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 1912, so she would have to been over a year or 2 years before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you go to Chinese school when you were?
Not in, no, at the second ranch. At that time, I would, the older ones, we were about the end of grammar school and the beginning of junior high school. We had, for several years, we had two private tutors who room and board with us. They were college students going to school in the morning and teaching Chinese to us in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
My father had this second house built. He had a room for us to take had the tables and the chairs all built for us to take the Chinese lesson. But we had to go to school 7 days a week, every afternoon, Saturday and Sunday. And what really got us mad is when the cousins come out, they'd be out there playing baseball, and we had to sit there and do our lessons, and we had to do our 2 or 3 hours before they let us out. And
mm-hmm.
even on a holiday, I mean, we went 7 days a week.
Well, during the weekday, did you go to Chinese school in the evening then? Was that how?
No, we went to, and when we got back from American school,
mm-hmm.
then we had our Chinese lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But our teacher lived at our house.
Mm-hmm. So that you and your brothers and sisters were able to speak fluently Chinese then?
The older ones,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Because our mother didn't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful to that because if it wasn't for that, I couldn't speak Chinese now.
Mm-hmm. And you said something about your father taking the younger ones
in
to
15 years after my mother died, he took the 5 younger ones back to Canton to put them in school. And his intention was to stay. And Lucas, by that time, he was nearing, his 70s. And so, but then they only stayed a few years. They had to leave because the communists was coming in, so he lost all the property he bought, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he married again, had 4 more children, and that makes the 19, which I'm the oldest, and 17 of us are still living.
Mm-hmm. And he continued to live in Los Angeles after he returned from China.
Well, he still stayed at the San Fernando Ranch. That's the second ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, when the half-brothers and sisters were older, he sold that
mm-hmm.
and then bought a piece of property in Los Angeles and built a 12-unit apartment complex. But he had the 1 unit with a 3-bedroom built for himself. He
mm-hmm.
lived there until he died 8 years ago at the age of 90.
Right. Yeah. Really had a good long
mm-hmm.
life, didn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part about that, my mother was buried at Evergreen Cemetery over 40 years ago, and when my father died, they went back to the same cemetery, and the one single plot next to her was not sold. So we bought that, and so now they are buried side by side.
That is very interesting. And how many years ago did you say that was?
Almost 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That makes a nice story. Rose, would you like to tell us something about yourself now, what happened after all those years?
Well, in 1938, I got married to John H. Lam, who was born in Butte, Montana. Don't be misled by the surname. People thought that I married an Englishman, but he is 100% Chinese. When I first got married, I applied to the Department of Water and Power to have the lights turned on, and the man said, "Oh, a fine English name." I said, "That is a fine name, but my husband and I are both 100% Chinese." And it was hard for me to get used to that surname because I changed from Wu to Lam. I would make appointments on the phone, and an Oriental lady would show up. But when my husband and son, Leonard, it wasn't that difficult because they grew up with it.
Mm-hmm. You mean it was spelled
L-A-M-B.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is a good English name.
When my father-in-law was coming over from China, the immigration officer added the B to it, and they never changed it. And that's how
mm-hmm.
it was supposed to be L-A-M.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us something about what life was like in those days, and some information about your husband and so on?
Well, my late husband, when we first got married, was a driver for Angel City Dry Cleaning, which was a Chinese-owned dry cleaning establishment. And then after several years, he went to work for an American firm called Keystone Engineering, which is a machine shop that repairs and makes new parts for machinery. And
mm-hmm.
that is on San Pedro Street here in Los Angeles. And he worked, he stayed at that job until he passed away of a heart attack, which was, so he was working there for over 25 years. He was the first Chinese to work for the company, and after that, they asked him, in those days, you know, they were prejudiced, and they said, well, we didn't know how good the Chinese workers were, so they asked him if he could find another Chinese man. They would like to hire another Chinese man, but
mm-hmm.
he said that he didn't know anyone that did that kind of work. But years later, they did find one man, a Chinese man, but he only stayed a few years and he left, and from then on, he was the only Chinese man working there until he passed away.
Did you have children?
We have one son, Leonard, who is a EH teacher, which is teaching emotionally handicapped children in Park School in Alhambra. He's been at it for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And our daughter-in-law, Olin, was born in China, but came to America when she was 5 years old. And
mm-hmm.
I have two wonderful grandchildren, Dean and Keith, 10 and 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My husband.
Well, they must be your pride and joy.
Yes.
And keep you,
yeah.
give you lots of
yeah.
company. Could you tell us something about your husband's father and where he came from in China and what he did?
My father-in-law came from China, I guess, Canton.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you know the village that he came from?
No. He was Dr. Wajin Lam. And my husband has often said he graduated from the first USC Medical School of Medicine in 1898.
Was that the very first class?
That's what they say.
Of the medical students?
Mm-hmm. For USC.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the school was not at the present campus. It was just a building downtown.
That was very unusual. How did he manage to have the money to go to medical school? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But he graduated from there, and then he practiced most of the time in Butte, Montana, because there was a Chinatown there.
Mm-hmm.
He, although he was an MD, he also prescribed herbs, too.
Oh, in what about his father then? Your husband's grandfather, Did they have businesses in Butte, and is that how it was that they came from Butte? Were they established a long time in Butte, Montana?
They never said anything, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband comes from a large family, too, of 10 children.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know how long they had been in Butte?
No, well, all I know is my husband was born there.
Mm-hmm. Is there any family remaining there now?
Not now.
Mm-hmm.
They're all here in Southern California now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except for one sister in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. You said that your husband's father had practiced in Butte, so there must have been fair-sized Chinese community there then.
Well, I hear them mention a Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, they moved to Los Angeles. Must have been in the 1930s, and then they stayed here. Never
mm-hmm.
went back.
Mm-hmm. What kind of social life was there? Did people go to church, or what did they do?
During the time I was married,
you know, when you first lived and after you were married, and
well, I guess it was church, and I met my husband at a dance.
A church social?
No, in those days there was a Chinese basketball team, and they had an auxiliary that was the women, and one of my sisters belonged to the auxiliary. But every year they gave an annual dance, I remember,
mm-hmm.
at the Royal Palms Hotel. And in those days, brothers and sisters and cousins just went together. We didn't really have to have a date. And I just went, my brother and sister and I, we all went as a group to the dance, because my sister belonged to the Loa Auxiliary Bus. And there's where I met my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And
that old Royal Palms Hotel is still there and still is used.
Oh, it is?
Yes. I knew of it. It's especially used for as a residence for alcoholics, but it still is being used. That's how I happen to know
every
about
year
it.
It was an annual dance. Every year they had a dance there.
Mm-hmm. But how many young people would turn out for it then?
Oh, they used to have a pretty good group. But the thing was that the dance never got going to around 10 o'clock, although it was for 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in those days after the dance, what we call slumming, and with our long dresses, we'd all go down to Filippi's. That was at this Italian place that sold Frenchton. The dip sandwiches.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
They sawdust on the floor. The whole group would always go we
mm-hmm.
call it slumming, though. They would go down there to buy. Remember, they were 10 cents. And let's see. And then, during that time, for a couple of years, while my sister was still belonging to the Loa Auxiliary, we out in the ranch, we gave a couple hay rides.
And you would invite the people from?
We would then invite all the Chinese people from Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
the ones that they knew.
Mm-hmm. What was a hayride like then? Did they have refreshments, dancing, or what was
it
like?
Well, we turned the living room into a, because the house was big and it had hardwood floors. We removed all the furniture, and then we put a couple of bales of hay in there, and then we played the phonograph for the music for them to dance, and we had a weenie bake.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't really actually go on a hayride then?
We didn't use the horse and the wagon, although we, at that time, I think we didn't have the horses anymore, but we had a couple of trucks. We put the hay on the truck, and we circle all the streets in the neighborhood. And while we're going there, we're singing,
I understand they're still circling the streets in Van Nuys, and that may have been where it started in the first place. Is that right?
I don't know. We were not that close to the town of Van Nuys. But
uh-huh.
I remember we had two hay rides out there, and I think that was the first time for all the Chinese young people to get together for a hay ride. We had a lot of fun. The first one I was the year before I got married, the second one, I was already married. In fact, I have a group picture of that that second hayride. Recently, I showed it to a young girl whose father and mother were in the picture, and she asked for the picture, and they had a picture made.
Hmm. Rose, you mentioned about a son who is a teacher of the emotionally handicapped. Could you tell us how he happened to get into that profession?
He was attending UCLA with a psychology major, and they had a program there where they worked with these emotionally disturbed children. They observed the students through a two-way mirror. And when he graduated from UCLA, he did 2 years graduate work at Cal State. And he still continued with the psychology. So when he finished there, he was assigned to Park School to teach these children, and they are bused in from the area. Mm-hmm. And then he has, by law, he's allowed 12 students. They have to spend a lot of time with each student.
And that is a public school?
As a public school, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So far, I asked him, I said, have you ever had a Chinese student? He had one Chinese girl. And one day they needed someone to interpret for the parents. And they asked my son, but he said that he didn't speak enough Chinese to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he happened to glance at the address, and he said, well, they live right across the street from the apartment where my mother lives. And so the school called me up to interpret for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it three different times.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl is now at another school. But that was the only Chinese
school. And did you see how she improved? Were you able to see that?
I saw it this last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they have any idea of how the children became handicapped emotionally?
I never really did ask my son that. He says that his students are like fourth graders, but their learning ability is only second grade. And
mm-hmm.
some of them have behavior problems. They have to even watch him at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he's been at it for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Your brothers and sisters had interesting professions too. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the one brother in particular, Eddie, who now works at Rockwell on the shuttle program. But he always did well in school. I remember when he was in high school for the senior class, he got the American Legion Award. And then the girl that got it, she happened to live on the same street as we did. And then he and several Chinese boys, just when the draft was coming up, because they knew they were going to be drafted, so they volunteered to go to, I forgot what island it was,
mm-hmm.
in the Pacific, but then I guess they got disappointed when they went out, although they were supposed to stick out the contract they signed, but they didn't, so they all left and went to Honolulu, and they were there when they bombed Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so right after that, when actually they got all drafted in the Army, and he was in the Air Force, after he finished his basic training, they kept him for an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And so he became a pilot. He's the only pilot. And then he's working on this shuttle program. And then I don't know whether many remember about the Hound Dog missile. He was in charge of that program. And now he's a supervisor with a group on this space shuttle program.
Mm-hmm.
I remember asking him when Prince Charles came to see the space shuttle. I said, did you see Prince Charles? He said, no. He said, I was too busy in the tower there, see that everything went all right.
Mm-hmm. Did he have anything to do with the Skylab that just failed?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's something
no,
else again.
I never didn't mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's another program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The space shuttle is the plane that is on top of that.
Piggyback.
I don't know too much about it. I remember that though.
Because he flies a lot of time when he flies up to there.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned also that you have a brother who's an architect.
His name is Young Wu. He's an architect. He does he and his partner do it primarily senior citizen housing projects, because
mm-hmm.
They say that's easier to get the loan to build these, because I think there's a need for those senior
mm-hmm.
citizen
yeah.
housing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand that they're putting one up in Monterey Park. Does he have something to do with that one?
No, he didn't have anything to do with that, but that was all finished.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It the first rentals was a year ago, in
oh.
May.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's quite a few Chinese living in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's quite a number of Chinese in Monterey Park.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They come into like a Chinatown. I went
mm-hmm.
to the D-hole, I don't know how I pronounce it, the Chinese grocery store in Monterey Park Saturday, and there were so many Chinese that I made a comment to the cashier that this is just like Chinatown. She said, it sure is. And like our local paper, about a couple of years ago, on the headline it said that Monterey Park become the Chinese Beverly Hills.
You mentioned also that you have two twin sisters who are teachers. Do they live in this area too?
No, they live in San Mateo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And neither one's not teaching now, but they
mm-hmm.
taught for several years because
mm-hmm.
they're both in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're married with their own
families. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, my father's Chinese is Wu Zhou, and I think all the a lot of the Los Angeles first generation people knew who he was. For the longest time, they never knew my name. When there was Wu Zhou's oldest daughter. To this day, there are still some people that refer to me that way.
Mm-hmm.